evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and at this time, it's my pleasure to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Good evening, Terry. Good evening, and welcome to the 7th of July. We slid right through the 4th. Yeah. You know, the 4th was a little different this year. Mm-hmm. I saw more fireworks than I've ever seen. They were all around me. Everyone must have really spent their stimulus check on fireworks. Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah. But it was pretty wild. Been an interesting couple weeks for me. A few things going on. I was just sharing with you, I had what I honestly believe, I would argue, was probably one of the largest oak trees in Marion County crash in my front yard the other night. And take wires and all kinds of fun stuff out with it, and that's been a challenge getting that all cleaned up and out of the way. But you know, nobody was hurt, and that's all good. Hey, it's great to be on here tonight. I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Our phone number there is 740-494-2222 if you'd like to drop me a line sometime. Or you can come visit us on Sunday mornings. Our Sunday morning services are at 9:30 in the morning and at 10:45. And our second service is the service in which we have Children's Church, and would be a good service to come to. And if you have children, anyway, we're a very Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, hopefully Bible-obedient church, and it's just a great place to come, and I would invite you there. Also, if you want to ever call in here with a prayer request or just have a discussion, feel free to call in at 740-383-9944, and just keep it happy and clean, and we'll get along great. So, been thinking about a few things the last few days. One of the things that, you know, I was thinking about is that in James chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and keeps oneself unspotted from the world." Now, that really encompasses a lot. But that verse kind of makes me think about widows and orphans and different people. And in light of what we're seeing in this time with this continuation of what they're referring to as a pandemic, I'm starting to see more numbers come in and different things, and they say that the numbers are back on the rise again. But however, what's interesting is the deaths are going down, and the hospitalizations are going down. And as I watch the numbers, it seems
which are the two main things that you
those
want to
are
look
the
at.
Things we really yeah, need to think yeah. about. But I'm also seeing that our governor is wanting to. I think he ordered 9 counties to wear masks today, and you know it's kind of interesting because. First of all, there's a great controversy over there about whether they help, they don't help, or whether they're even detrimental to some people, especially some of our seniors and anybody with a breathing issue. So there's that out there. And then I was in a couple places the last few days, and I heard some things, and I know that they closed down the senior center in Prospect, the health department did, because they said they just weren't supposed to be open and they shouldn't be there, and whatever reasons there were. And again, I got to thinking about that, and I thought, now wait a minute, I know our senior center, and there's not a lot of people, and they come there every Thursday, and they have lunch, sit in the air conditioning, usually 4 people to a very large round table, and they play cards, and you know, that's almost, if you think about it, Terry, that's kind of a lifeline for those people. And it's a way that they feel that they're not just stuck in home waiting on the end of the world to come. You know what I mean? It's something they get out and get to do. And I found it very detrimental that they closed them down. And I find it very detrimental that they're not allowing people in nursing homes a little more freedom. And, you know, for the sake of in the appearance of helping, I think that sometimes we give our agencies a little too much authority in this country. And you know, we are a people that are, this is a government of the people and by the people, right? And it seems to me like that seems to be something that is fleeting.
Got lost in the shuffle somewhere.
And then I was in another place today, and they told me that you can't come in. We can only meet you outside. And I said, what? They said, well, if they said if they come in and catch us one time without our masks on inside, that they'll shut us down. And they said, you know, it's just stifling in here for us to have to wear a mask. So it's easier for us to meet you at the door and take what you want and go get it than to sit around here and mask all day. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. Where's all this coming from? I think that you have every right in the world to wear a mask. And I think that if you feel that it's something you need to be doing, you should do that. And there's not going to be a... If I'm non-symptomatic and I'm not, you know... If you want to wear a mask to keep me from infecting you, you know, go right ahead and wear it. But I think that people make a personal choice as whether they want to go somewhere or not. I'll put it this way. Say that, Terry, you have a hamburger place, and it's a popular place for lunch. And someone tells me, you know, Terry didn't require anyone to wear masks in there, and Terry didn't wear a mask in there, and none of his employees wear masks. Well, then I have the option of saying, well, you know what? I'm not going to eat there until this thing's over with. And someone else might say, oh, thank God I can go somewhere where there's no mask and eat and have a normal lunch. See, that's the whole point of freedom. We have a freedom of choice of what we want to do. But to mandate that everybody do the same thing, what about the people that it is detrimental to their health to wear one? Are you going to tell them that they can't go anywhere and got to stay home because they can't wear one? See, this kind of stuff, it really infringes on our personal freedoms in this country. Now, I can understand quarantines. If you are sick, I mean, you know that in the past in our country, there's always been times when people had, you know, anywhere from cholera to whooping cough to measles to all the things that we have more vaccines for now, that... You know, people were quarantined. You got it, you stay home. You don't go into town. Well, they're finding that the majority of the people that get this virus don't even know they have it, and they're non-symptomatic. And our death rate is still below 0.01%. I mean, the death rate is extremely, extremely, extremely... I mean, you have a better chance of going out and dying some other death randomly than from this thing that's out there. Now, I don't want to get it, and if I get it, I don't think it'd be very good for me, and I could die, I know that, but I also know, Terry, that I can die when I'm driving my car in here to the station. I almost did a few months back, came very close to dying in that accident, yeah. Coming in here. Yeah. I know that if I get a bad flu, I could die from that. You know, there's so many things that we can die from that we're not doing this thing that we're doing with it. I mean, do you ever remember a time when we forced social distancing for a flu? I don't know any time that we've done that. Or any time we forced mask wearing. I don't know what the exact breakdown are, but there are hundreds and hundreds of doctors out there saying, don't wear a mask, it's not good for you. You know, our own director of, Fauci, you know, Dr. Fauci said in the beginning, don't wear a mask. It's going to do you more harm than good. And then everyone starts making masks, and all these things happen. And all of a sudden, don't take your mask off. I mean, which one is it? I saw an interesting thing the other day on a guy was wearing N95 mask. Mm-hmm. And he went and was sanding drywall. Took the mask off, and you could just see it going in and out of his nose. Do you know how heavy those particulates are compared to the virus? And if they're getting through, that virus is just going through there like it's nothing. And I understand. I've got family that are very ill. I've got a brother-in-law that'll be staying with me for a couple months, and he doesn't want to get sick. He's very health compromised, but. To tell people that, you know, they're going to shut their business down or they're going to shut a senior center down where, you know, what's the detrimental effect of people that would go there that now have to sit at home without going to the place they're used to seeing their friends, They're used to getting out for a day, and now they sit at home depressed. I don't want to die that way. And I think that, you know, I truly believe that a lot of our freedoms are being infringed on horribly. And I'm wondering when people are going to step up and say, no, no, we're not doing it. You know, and businesses are so afraid of being shut down. Do you know if all the businesses that think that there's no point in this would march right in into the Board of Health and say, uh-uh, we're not doing it. I mean, what are they going to do? At some point, when do we take our decision to put our big boy pants on back? And I don't care if your decision is to wear one or not to wear one, but it should be my decision, not yours. Especially when there's no... Has anyone ever shown the scientific evidence that there's a benefit to wearing a mask? Haven't seen that, have you? I haven't seen it. I've seen no data on it. They never posted any data on it. We're just being told by the powers to be to wear a mask. I mean, before I'm going to inconvenience myself, before it's going to shut down my business, you know, I want to see some data that shows that this is actually real data that shows that it's beneficial, because there is not, I've not seen any out there, and I don't think anybody has. And I think that, you know, this is kind of a test run. Just how much are these people going to put up with? And you know, as Americans, I think it's sad that we're doing the things that we're doing. Another thing that I find interesting is, and I do want to get to this passage about you know, taking care of widows and orphans. And you say, well, how does that relate to what you're talking about? I think we need to respect and take care of our older people and give them every opportunity and enjoy what life they have and help them. You know, these people that are giving the orders for these seniors to do these things, how many of them actually have gone one-on-one to help a senior out? You know what I mean? It's so easy to make the rules. It's so easy to make the rules, say, hey, I wash my hands of it. Oh, you know what I mean? You mean deaths are up from depression? You mean deaths are up from people just giving up and not wanting to live anymore? Oh, well, we had to do this for their sake. Really? You know, for how for their sake? And, you know, these things kind of bother me. You know, we can't... Our health department in Marion County contacted me way back when this first started. Hey, I heard you were meeting for church. You're not allowed to do that. Really? Show me constitutionally where we're not allowed to meet for church. Now, I'll say this. Out of common courtesy for people, we didn't meet. And we did video. And then, you know, since then, we've split services, we've separated people, we've tried to be very accommodating to people that are really fear this thing, and trying to be do what's wise and be compliant and not be a jerk church, whatever that means. But the point is, they had no right to call me and say that I was meeting and we weren't allowed to, because we were allowed to. I mean, the president and the governor came right out and said, I am not putting any restrictions on churches. I'd like them to do this. So why did our Board of Health call me and want to know why we were meeting? Because someone turned them in that we were when we weren't, long story. But anyway, because somebody had a little authority. And, oh no. Terry, we're acting up here.
Uh-oh.
I'll get this off in a minute.
Okay.
I have shut this off so many times.
In the meantime,
times.
It's...
I have shut this off so many times.
Yeah.
But, okay. You know, somebody gets a little bit of authority, and they run with it. And, you know, I'll show them. I'll tell them what they can and can't. No. You know, we need to, as American people, stand up and say, you remember Patrick Henry? What did he say?
Mm-hmm.
Give me liberty or give me death.
Yeah.
You know, we need to have our liberty. I don't want to live without my liberty in this country. I don't want to be dictated to all the time. And we're so drastically and rapidly moving towards that. Government has become Big Brother. They watch everything we do. They tell us what we can. I mean, come on. What happened to government of the people, by the people? You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where did it go? All of a sudden, government is telling me what I can do. No, we need to tell them what they can do. And we're supposed to be a representative form of government, but, you know, Even our representatives are making their own decisions and doing their own thing.
Well, I think somewhere in the shuffle, everything got lost. I mean, I still can't wrap my head around the fact that if they work for us, how do they have better benefits than us? I mean, that's what I can't wrap my head around.
Because they make the rules and we've let them do it.
You know, I mean, I think that train went off the track like 100 years ago when, you know, we should.
Well, look when they did the Affordable Care Act.
I mean,
when they did that, none of them were subject to it.
They should have a better retirement than you or I or anybody, but
they didn't fall under the rules of the Affordable Care Act.
You know, I mean,
they get their own government insurance.
That's what I'm saying.
Vote their own pay raises. Wouldn't you like to vote your own pay raises?
That's what I'm saying, but I mean, they're supposed to work for us, and I mean,
they don't. They don't. In most cases, they have not been. You know. And the ones that are out there trying to work for us are constantly ridiculed and torn down.
Yeah.
Because the problem is they're bucking the status quo. And it's time for the status quo has got to go. I firmly believe that. I believe that we have to stand up and say, wait a minute.
I mean, I think.
What are you doing for America?
If they want to work for us, they should work for free or for whatever. I mean, that should be a privilege to be in that.
Oh, absolutely. There also needs to be real term limits.
Yeah.
You know,
you can't have a 45-year senator or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, they get. What's with going into office, you know, making. Originally, when you went in, $50,000 a year, leaving 5 years later as a multimillionaire. Gee, what went on there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's not a rare example. That's commonplace. And it's just got to be a system. But when I go back to this, I have to blame Americans. Because we do have the Constitution in place to go in and vote these people out and to have done what needs to be done. But people have a tendency to be very apathetic and complacent. And they will sit back, and as long as they get what they want, then, okay, I'll put up with it. You know, as long as this is what I expect to have, and I'm still getting it. Do you find it interesting that before all these rules came out, the very first thing they did before they did anything else was vote a stimulus package in? Give people money and they'll shut their mouth. I mean, we know about the unemployment benefits. It was insane. You know, if you're on unemployment, I talked to someone a few weeks ago that was cut back to 32 hours like most places. They cut them back, cut their hours back. They could file unemployment on the part above that. So the other 8 hours they filed unemployment for. But because they were filing for unemployment, they got $600 a week. Now, if that isn't insanity, I don't know what is. It's one thing to replace somebody's income to the level they were. But, I mean, I talked to so many people who said, man, I'm getting called back to work, darn it. You know, so you give people money, you give them benefits, you give them these things, and then you got, there they are. They don't want, they're happy. They'll do whatever you want. But the problem is, that runs out. It's not sustainable. And people are wanting things that, you know, I grew up in a time, and I know that you did too, I'm sure, that, you know, when you wanted something, you had to work for it or you weren't going to get it. You did.
Mm-hmm.
And the jobs are out there. I know that before this happened, our job market was a runaway train. I mean, if you told me you couldn't find a job, you were lying to me.
Yeah.
Because people were begging for employees.
Well, like I think I said, I think I mentioned, you know, before this started, I told you, it was a rarity to see these big shops, you know, hiring at the rate that they were.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, now it's like commonplace. You can walk in and get a full-time job at one of these big, I mean, like PPG, you know, I mean, and that would have been unheard of. I mean, in the 80s and 90s, there was 500 people.
You had to fight for
getting those. There was 500 people for maybe two jobs, and now they're like, you know.
Please, please come.
Yeah.
You know, as a pastor at the church, I got phone calls and letters from these companies saying, please, pastor, is there anyone in the church that needs a job that you can send to us? Because we need good people and we can't fill our shifts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, this is different than when I was. Boy, you used to fight for those jobs years ago.
These are good jobs, $18, $19 an hour. I mean, good jobs, you know.
Well, there's one place in town paying $30.
You know.
And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, and nobody wants to work it. Work. Get out and work. I remember in 1981, it was, yeah, 1981, I had a We had a couple kids. We had a toddler in diapers. Mm-hmm. And we had a recession. And I was doing building trades at the time. And it just stopped. I mean, it was like bang, stop, nothing. Mm. You don't. And the way I was being paid, you know, there wasn't any filed for unemployment. We were getting cash, you know, contractor wages, and they weren't great. But I mean, it wasn't. You know, I didn't have any benefits. So what did I do? I went out, and it was wintertime, and I shoveled driveways when it snowed. We knew somebody that had a farm full of trees. And a buddy of mine and I went out, we cut firewood under the condition that he got half of everything we cut before we could even sell it. So I was lucky if I got $20 a day cutting wood, but it was enough to put food on the table and buy diapers and squeak through until things eased up. But today people wouldn't even think of doing that. They would just sit back and start making phone calls and say, who's going to feed me? And you know, that is not sustainable. It really isn't. And it wasn't because back then that all the big shots were making all the money and starving us. No one had any. You know what I mean? And, you know, I've always been a firm believer that you work so that, you know, that's how you have something. You work for it. And we're in some difficult, strange times, Terry. But I think that we're seeing way too much governmental control in all kinds of areas. That opens the door for conspiracy theories. People say, why do you have all these conspiracy theories about what's really going on? Well, one, because what you're doing is making no sense. So now we got to think, why are they really doing it? Because it makes no sense. It makes no medical sense. It makes no business sense. It makes no, well, it does kind of make political sense. I mean, we do know that they're fighting to have everybody do a mail-in ballot, which would destroy our electorate. But hey, if we have a pandemic out there and it's not safe for people to get in a line, you know, come on. You know, Walmart's still packed. You know, don't tell me you can go to Walmart every day, but you can't get in line and vote. I don't believe that for a minute. You know, and these other places that they can go to. It's kind of like they pick and choose what's dangerous. I haven't heard anybody really throwing a fit about the protesters not wearing masks and coming out and meeting. You know, matter of fact, I've actually heard the media encouraging people to speak their mind and come out. Well, why not? Well, where's their masks? Where's their social distancing? You know, it just depends on what the agenda is and where it's going. And that's why people come up with all these conspiracy theories, because they're thinking, nothing you're saying is doing to make it any sense. So what's really behind this? What's really your agenda behind this? Because none of this if it made sense, they'd follow it and it'd be fine. If it made sense, I'd follow it. But if you know, it doesn't make any sense. And when I start seeing my friends and people that I do business with scared to death that they're going to shut their doors on them again when they barely made it through the last go-round because some employee might have pulled their mask down below their nose, we have gotten ridiculous. I mean, this is a free country. Like I said, if you don't want to go somewhere where people aren't wearing masks, don't go. Don't go. Or double up your own mask or put a bubble over your head. Something. But the point is, don't make everyone have to submit to one person's decision when we're a free nation and a free country. You know, don't tell me that, you know, well, the governor shut down 8 states today. Really? Mandatory masks today. Governor DeWine, you don't have the right to do that. I'm sorry, you don't. And I don't think you can arrest all the people that would be doing it if people just said, no, we're not going that route. Another interesting thing is if this virus would have been allowed to run its course. I mean, once they got I understood initially that they really had to get the hospitals prepared for this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they're finding that they're finding better treatments without putting people on a vent, because the vent was really dangerous and it was making some people even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're finding other ways to treat this without going on to a vent. And the hospitals are in pretty good shape with this. And like I said, the death rate's way down. Numbers are up, death rate's down. Numbers are up, hospitalizations are down. So why not let it run its course at this point and get rid of it? Once it's run its course, we're probably okay. Why are we prolonging this thing? so we can get it into our regular flu season and then double up on the control? I mean, are we ever going to get out of masks? What happens when our next flu comes out this fall? In this winter, when they're still battling this thing that should have run its course 2 months ago if they'd have let it run its course. You see where I'm going with that? And at this point, when they finally have medical control on it and a better medical handle on it, let it run its course.
Well, I seen one report where it said that they found people like in these other countries that, you know, that if they're sick, they wear a mask and it seems to help. So that's why I think that for a long time we didn't do that, and that's why it contributed to a high flu rate, because people couldn't afford to stay home because, you know, they needed the money at work, you know, which contributed to, and that's why these other had such a lower rate. So some of the stats that I've seen.
Do you trust anything that comes out of China?
No, but I mean, I just that's some stats that I've seen. I mean, yeah. it was just, you know.
I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that every,
which I think
I've
now,
heard so many doctors say that breathing in your own air and what you should be exhaling, what's supposed to exit your body, that's the way our body is designed.
Mm-hmm.
It takes purities in and it lets out impurities.
Right.
Okay, when you got a mask on, you're breathing right back your own impurities right back into your body. That can't, to me, that just can't be healthy. And wearing a mask outside, how about fresh air? They're shutting down parks of all places where you should be out getting fresh air and breathing and walking. And I mean, that to me, that just makes no sense at all. I don't think there should be any outside event shut down. Especially, you know, I think that we've gotten to a place with people that they're using some common sense. I mean, people aren't getting right in your face. And if you do, if they do, you recognize it and you get away. We didn't do that before so much. But I think, and a lot of people are washing, I find myself washing my hands 10 more times than I did. If it brought that about, fantastic. You know, we need to be doing more of that stuff. But it's to tell people what they have to do constantly. This is certainly not the America that I knew as a kid, and that many people fought and died and lost their lives for. And I hope that at some point, you know, people realize that. The saddest thing that I see out there, I think, is that our seniors are being scared to death, and I deal with them. I have many friends that are. I have some that are older and not afraid, and others, this has got them scared to death, and that just plain isn't healthy. I know someone's going to say, well, let you get it and see if you... No, if I got it, it would be unfortunate. If it took my life, it would be... I don't want that to happen. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't add up how we're handling it. I could get a severe flu. I don't want to get the flu either. That's why I typically get a flu shot every year, because I don't want the flu, and I know that it can be deadly itself. And that's fine, but no one has ever... Has anyone ever mandated we took a flu shot? Nope. Has anyone ever mandated that we wear masks during flu season? And I don't know what to think. I think, once again, if that's a good idea, good idea. But it needs to be something that is optional, not something mandated. Mm-hmm. If you feel safer wearing a mask, mm-hmm. wear one. If you don't, don't. If you're afraid of catching something from people around you, wear a mask and stay and keep your distance from people. You know, that's common sense. But to mandate people do this, they're going to walk in a store, and if they see one employee without their mask not on properly, they're going to shut the store down. What kind of Gestapo is our health department? You see what I mean? Now, they'll argue that, oh, we're trying to keep our numbers down because we don't want the state. Come on. I don't see it. I mean, especially when you look at the states and the numbers and what they've done. There's no evidence to show that the states that haven't masked up have had higher numbers. We don't see any evidence of that either. So why are we doing this? I don't know. I think in a lot of ways Governor DeWine's done a great job, but when he's going this round again, I'm thinking, please, please, please let this thing run its course so we can get rid of it. Because once they double it up with the next flu coming in, we're going to have a mess. And, you know, this has socked our economy hard enough. And I don't know that we could go another round of the economy getting slammed. first of all, we do know, they know, they have evidence, they know that this was intentionally done by China to stop our economy. And it's worked. You know, that's a terrorist act by them, by the way. And, you know, knowing that, knowing what they know, there's no question where it came from. There's no question they didn't tell anybody initially the truth of what was going on. There's no question, why was it that the highest rate of travel from people to the United States was last winter that we've ever had? Why were so many people coming here from China? You know, I don't know. I don't want to be a total conspiracy theorist, but we can't ignore the facts either. And, you know, China's never been a friend of ours. And their human rights violations are unbelievable. They're off. Look what they're doing to Hong Kong. You know, we've got people they got people over there disappearing right and left. Where do you think they're going? You know, they're not sending them out on vacation. You know, and this is a country that has never claimed to be a friend of the United States, ever. And yet we're, you know, we need to stand up, get ourselves straightened up, get back on our feet. We need to do everything we can to protect our seniors, give them some strength, give them what they need, and let them make a decision. Well, let me ask you a question. What if somebody in a nursing home says, you know what, I don't want to be here anymore. I just want to go home with my family. And if I'm going to die, let me die at home. And the family says, that's fine, they can come home. Would they even let them? I don't know. Are they imprisoned there? You see, that's the problem. I mean, they're in lockdown for crying out loud. And, you know, I've had a family member that's not with us now that was greatly affected by this and depressed and couldn't leave the nursing home and should have never succumbed to anything. But depression is a horrible thing, and depression numbers are so much on the rise. There's no way that a child can sit in class and learn with a mask on their face. It isn't going to happen. I've talked to several parents that have said, you know what, that's my bottom, that's where I draw the line. I will homeschool them. I don't want to homeschool them, but I'm willing to forego my job. We'll cut back and we'll live leaner, but I'm going to stay at home and take care of my child because my child isn't going to be put through a form of torture all day long, every day, and be treated like a little communist kid in a, you know, being raised in to toe the line and do whatever they're told. And that's not the free country I grew up in. And I think that you're going to see that a lot of people are going to begin to say no. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to get violent. It doesn't mean that they're going to start smashing buildings like some groups are out there are. It doesn't mean they're going to start stealing, and they're just going to say, no, I will not do it. Or, yes, I will keep my store open. You know, and if, let me tell you something, if enough people said no, we're not doing it, how are they going to enforce that? Now, here's this pastor encouraging people to break the law. This is the whole point, Terry. It's not a law. It's an order. They've ordered this stuff. Nothing's been put into law. There's no law mandating any of this stuff. It's an order given by a governor. And our governor is not a dictator. You see what I mean? He is not allowed to order me personally as an American to do anything. He can say that he wants it done. He can shut a road down. You know, and then they go along with that. But there's no law. You're not breaking the law. I'm not encouraging anyone to break the law. I'm encouraging people to live the law. I'm encouraging people to do what legally our Constitution allows them to do. And that's to stand up for liberty and personal freedom. You know, that's not breaking the law. And any police officer worth their salt out there would recognize that and not even refuse to arrest someone for it. You see what I mean? People get so used to taking orders from people, what you can and can't do. I mean, you know, so many people in this country today are up to here with the social agencies helping provide for them. Well, you're used to going up to a counter and somebody says, sir, you can't do that, or you have to do this, or you have to do that, and you follow the rules so that you get your benefits. Okay? Fine. But it doesn't apply to every aspect of your life. You see what I mean? when there's things in place that you have to do certain things for, that's one thing. But getting our marching orders from a government that's supposed to represent us is not something that we need to be doing or worrying about. We need to be doing what we should be doing. My heart goes out to anyone that's suffering from sickness. I've known several people in the last 6 months that have passed away. I've done a lot of funerals in the last 6 months. But I have to tell you, not one of them has been from COVID. And I'll tell you something else. I bet every person I did a funeral for was worried about COVID. But that's not what they died from. And the greatest way to control people is with fear. And we don't need fear. You know, we trust in a loving God that we know that if we've given our life to Him, that He's taken care of us, that even in the worst case scenario, things are going to get better. They're going to get better. They're going to get better when we die. And we don't have to walk around in fear constantly. And, you know, fear is a huge control factor. Nobody moves forward and does better when they're in fear, right? Have you ever been in a state of fear, Terry, in your life when during that period of time you achieved more? No, you achieved less. You're scared. You're too scared to operate. We need to operate. We need to get out. We need to get out in our churches. We need to reach people, love people, care for people. You know, continue our helps ministry, loving people, taking care of orphans, taking care of widows. We can't do that when we're shut down with a mask on. You see what I mean? And it's not even about that. With me, a lot of it, it's not even about the mask. It's the fact that they're telling us we have to do it. You know, I've got friends that have been in the service and it's destroyed their lives. I've had friends in Vietnam that had PTSD. And you know, the hard thing about that is that you can't control what, there we go. TikTok keeps trying to pop up on here, Terry. Mm. And I think the reason is because TikTok, who owns TikTok, do you know? China. China does.
Yeah.
But sorry, folks. I'll get this straightened out in a second. There we go. Fell down. There we go. Maybe we'll get the show done.
Okay.
Without too much trouble. But anyway, yeah, TikTok is Chinese. But and that's why it keeps popping up on my phone, I think, when I'm talking like this. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know, We just need to realize we do have freedom. We do have liberty. And I just hate, it really hurts me to see what's going on in our country. And so many people losing their jobs and losing businesses because we have someone telling them they can't be open, they can't trade, they can't do this. You know, it's destroying our country. People need to wake up and say, you know what, I'm going to work. And business teams say, you know what, I'm staying open. You know, if all the businesses in the United States that desire to be open could just say, you know what, I'm doing it anyway. Are you telling me they're going to fine every business and shut them down? They can't. You know, businesses need to get together. And we've got all these kids and young people and people protesting in the streets for a situation that, for whatever reason it is, and some of these organizations are just plain nuts. I mean, you know, the socialist aspect and what they're really about is just so anti-American, it's unbelievable. And they're not about black lives either. They're about destroying our country and setting in place a socialist government. And I mean, all you got to do is read what they're really about. It's not that hard to find. But, by the way, I got to tell you something interesting. I want everyone to try this real quick if you can. Get on your phone and Google something for me. Get on Google if you have it and think of any three numbers, 345, 678, 982, whatever three numbers you want. And Google that and then follow that up with like 345 new cases. Just Google it, 345 new cases. It'll blow your mind what comes up. you know, comes up. Several stories on just off top. Albuquerque, New Mexico has 345 new cases. And instantly an algorithm will throw a whole story that's completely made up with the number that you give. Happens every time. Happens every time. Do you trust Google? You never will again if you do that. We were sitting around talking one day, and a friend of mine, we were talking, and I said, let's try something. I said, put in there, has Donald Trump ever had an STD, or does he have any STDs, just to see what Google would do. Mm-hmm. Immediately came up with an instant story about how a doctor is sure that just by research and law of averages that he currently has at least five. Where does a story like that come from? Don't trust these social, what do you call them, search engines. You can't trust them. You just can't. And people get their information from that. Americans, we got to wake up. We have got to wake up. We've got to get back to some good old-fashioned thinking for ourselves, realizing there's things that are wrong and not just going with the flow. We've got to get the deviancy out of so much of our society that we see everywhere. We've got to get the dishonesty. You know, a lie is a lie. A lie is a lie, and it really doesn't matter whether you get caught or not. In this country, it's become a lie when you get caught. As long as you can get away with it, a lie is okay. No, it's not okay. A lie is a lie is a lie is a lie. If you know something you're saying, now, you can say something you think is the truth and be wrong, and that's being misinformed, but that's not a lie. A lie is when you intentionally say something you know is for a fact is a lie. But in this country, it's become, if I can get away with it, doesn't hurt anybody, what's wrong with it? Everything's wrong with it. We've got to get back to some moral values and thinking about the liberty. Man, we've lost a lot. I was talking before I lost contact here a few minutes ago about Vietnam and the guys that had a... I've got family and different people that had a horrible thing, you know, for years after it. But they fought for our country, even though maybe they thought the war wasn't just. You know, these are people that fought for it. Don't we owe them something to not just walk away and let the government do whatever they want? How sad is that? And, you know, I just think that we really need to... Bible says, it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will turn from their wickedness and humble themselves, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And I think that it's time that we do that. I think it's time that we say, okay, God, we fooled around long enough. We need you. And we're willing to do what you want us to do. He isn't going to heal our land if we don't do what he wants us to do. I mean, if we want to keep playing this game, we can go down in flames. But I'm not willing to sit back and watch it happen. So I know people might say I sound radical, but I don't think that I do. I think I just sound American. Hey, Terry, it's been good talking to you tonight. I'm probably going to get some feedback. Some of it could be negative. Who knows? But you know, whether we get negative feedback or not, Terry, we got to tell what we feel and stand up for it. You know, we've sat back too long and not stood up. And we've got to do it. God gave us a great nation where we can worship freely. We're not going to have it a lot longer if this doesn't stop. It's gotten silly that we've let it go this far, but. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day and all you've given us. For your love and your grace, Lord, I ask that we desire to draw closer to you. And we ask these things in your precious name. Amen. So, we'll see what kind of heat I get over this one. Sometimes it does happen.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 1.